Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
You know, in life, no matter how much you are down, if you are willing to give your best and fight, you know, you can always have a fighting chance to come back.
We had to rise from the ashes.
Search for amazing sports stories wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
In late November 2023, an odd video appeared on YouTube.
Hello guys, my name is Shahzad Nasser. I'm here to share an interesting discovery of mine.
That interesting discovery was about a purchase of two yachts for tens of millions of dollars. Pictures of the luxury vessels float up on the screen, as do pictures of the buyers and screenshots of documents that purport to be sales contracts. The raspy voice tells us that something fishy's going on.
Now, here's where it gets interesting. Both Boris and Sergei are Ukrainian citizens. Both are close friends with the president of Ukraine. Both are Zelensky proxies.
Where did the money come from? The mysterious Shahzad Nasser, who has no online profile to speak of, waits nearly until the end of the video for the big reveal.
Over the last 2 years, U.S. has directed more than $100 billion to Ukraine, with virtually no oversight.
It's true that the U.S. has given a large sum of money to Ukraine's war effort, but most of the rest of the video was false. The yachts, we checked with the owners. They hadn't been sold at all, and certainly not to friends of Zelensky. It was a classic piece of disinformation, old-fashioned fake news. But this clip started a chain reaction. Although virtually nobody watched this video on YouTube, the story was picked up the next day by a website called DC Weekly. It was repeated on Telegram channels, and on X, on Facebook, and other social media sites. And then, a few weeks later,
we're getting easily a $500 billion in the hole for the Ukraine conflict by the time this is done.
This is U.S. Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio. He's a Republican, a close ally of Donald Trump, a possible vice presidential nominee, and a deep skeptic of U.S. aid to Ukraine. Here he is talking on a podcast hosted by Steve Bannon, a former Trump administration official. They spoke in December, just weeks after the story came out, at the same time as fraught negotiations over Ukraine were happening in the U.S. Congress.
At the very same time, you have people in this town saying we need to cut Social Security, throw our grandparents into poverty. Why? So that one of Zelensky's ministers can buy a bigger yacht? Kiss my ass, Steve. It's not happening.
The yacht rumor had spread from a scratchy YouTube video to the U.S. Senate. This wasn't an accident. In fact, as we found, the story was manufactured and seeded in Russia, part of a sprawling operation that is now turning its sights towards November's U.S. election. I'm Mike Wendling, and this is BBC Trending. In this episode, we'll be exploring the Russia-based network that spread the yacht story and dozens of other fakes.
If they do one or two campaigns every week, well, that gives them 50 to 100 iterations where they're throwing something into the information ocean and things can take off very quickly.
As this operation proliferates, we've been looking into who's behind it and asking just how it might affect a close presidential race later this year. I'm joined today by Cheyenne Sadarizadeh, who works for BBC Verify. For the past few months, we, along with our colleagues Olga Robinson and Paul Myers, have been investigating this network. And we've tracked down a key player, a former U.S. Marine and Florida police officer who fled to Russia in 2016.
For me, it's a game and a little payback.
His name is John Mark Dugan, and he's important to this story, so we'll come back to him. But first, Cheyenne, let's start by explaining how this operation works.
Good to be with you, Mike. So we first got wind of this network when we were investigating pro-Russian videos on TikTok. Some of them referenced a site called DC Weekly, which you just mentioned.
Only it's not weekly, and it's not based in Washington, DC.
It's not. We looked into the IP addresses and hosting servers, and that led us to dozens of other similar-looking websites. They look at first glance like legitimate news sites, maybe not the best quality, but with names like Houston Post or Chicago Chronicle, you might easily mistake them for genuine news outlets.
I'm here in Chicago, and I can assure you that there is no publication that anyone knows here called Chicago Chronicle.
Exactly. These are made-up names. But what's interesting about these sites is that they each contain thousands of articles taken from legitimate sources and rewritten by artificial intelligence, AI. We know this because they bear a resemblance to real stories from real newspapers. And in some cases, the instructions to the AI software were left on the stories. For instance, please rewrite this article taking a conservative stance.
So explain how these sites promote fake stories along with these AI-generated ones.
The AI stories give the impression that these are real websites produced by busy newsrooms. That lends an air of credibility. There's even a cast of journalists with invented names and profile pictures that supposedly staff those sites. But every so often, a fake story appears, like the Zelensky yacht story you outlined at the beginning. These stories are usually backed up by YouTube videos.
Like the raspy one we heard clips of.
Exactly. And they are seeded on Russian and English social media. They're picked up by receptive audiences. And every so often they go viral and reach powerful people, like US members of Congress.
Researchers say the network has pumped out tens of thousands of AI-generated articles. And hidden within the tsunami of content are the fakes. There's not that many of them compared to the AI-generated stories, and not all of them travel as far as the yacht story. However, Darren Linville is a co-director at Clemson University's Media Forensics Hub. He says it only takes one false narrative to break through for the operation to be worth it.
Before we identified DC Weekly, they were creating videos every week. And most of those didn't get a lot of traction. It's true. But when you throw enough spaghetti at the wall, sometimes you're going to have success.
So we've established there is this network of websites that launches viral fake stories, although it's not always effective. But the big question is, who's behind it? We've been investigating, looking at information about DC Weekly and other similar websites, such as IP addresses and web servers. And through this information, and with the help of experts, we've been able to definitively trace them back to a man named John Mark Dugan. Remember him? He's the man we mentioned at the beginning, and he has a very colorful past. He's an ex-US Marine and worked as a police officer in Florida and Maine until he was fired for sexually harassing a coworker. He started a website designed to leak information about his former employers, but that caught the attention of the authorities, and he fled to Moscow. I've been messaging back and forth with Dugan since December, when I reached out to him for a response to an article. He denies having anything to do with the websites, but in our messages, he seems to be having fun. In response to one of my questions, he wrote, "What operations?" followed by a winky face emoji. And he kept dropping other clues. Once when I asked him why he was setting up these fake news sites, he told me this. His words are spoken by an actor.
"For me, it's a game and a little payback."
I took that to mean he's upset at American authorities for going after him. He's reportedly facing criminal charges for his activities before he fled to Russia. There were other hints, too.
"I hear Zelensky bought a historic house in Gloucester."
I had no idea what he was talking about at the time, but it was another fake story. This one about the Ukrainian president using aid money to buy an English mansion from King Charles. After the New York Times published a story which mentioned Dugan, a story appeared on the DC Weekly website. It stated,
"I am the owner, an American citizen, a U.S. military veteran, born and raised in the United States."
The article signed off with Dugan's email address. He's also been trolling me. After we published a story on the BBC website which mentioned him back in December, a fake version of the BBC site popped up online. I know this because Dugan sent it to me, and indeed, it had all the hallmarks of a Dugan website. This is The Documentary with me, Mike Wendling.
Sie führen täglich hitzige Fußballdebatten? Dann probieren Sie jetzt die Big Mac-Methode. Denn nur beim Big Mac sind sich alle einig.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Die Big Mac-Methode schlichtet Diskussionen über Handspiel, Abseits, Videobeweis, Aufstellung, Taktik und Auswechslungen. Bei Ineffektivität wird keine Haftung übernommen.
For BBC Trending, we've been investigating a network of fake sites controlled from Russia. It turns out I wasn't the only reporter talking to Dugin.
There was always this sort of looming sense of paranoia as to why he was talking to me and no longer being aggressive and hostile like he is with other reporters.
Mackenzie Sadaji is AI and foreign influence editor at NewsGuard, an organization that rates news sites for trustworthiness. She's the author of a recent NewsGuard report about Dugin and his network. She and her colleagues have linked around 170 sites to him and describe him as a key player in Russian disinformation operations.
Initially, given the network's size and scope, I thought that there were numerous other people involved. But over time, through my conversations with him and some of the reporting, it became more clear that he seemed to be the primary person in charge of running all of this. And he seems to be able to do that largely due to artificial intelligence technology, which is evidenced by some of the content on the site, everything down from the logos, the text of the articles, the translations, a lot of it seemed to be primarily operated, and he was the main human sort of overseeing the operation.
Although Dugin is clearly creating and managing these sites and plays a key role in the operation, others are skeptical that he's ultimately in charge, directing the strategy. Like so much of what happens in Russian information operations, the truth is somewhat murky. But Mackenzie Sadaji has an insider perspective on Dugin's activities. She's been talking to him on and off for months, even longer than I have. And he opened up to her in a different way, too. He told her about his life in Moscow and sent her pictures of meals he's eaten.
I would describe Dugin as someone who feels like he was very wronged by the U.S., He says that he wanted to expose corruption as a police officer and says that some of the things that he tried to bring to light weren't getting attention and as a result fled to Russia. I think it's hard to know whether or not he truly believes the narratives that he's propagating, but it's clear the Russians are benefiting from it and are using him in some sense.
So Russia is benefiting. But is that the extent of it? Cheyenne, is it possible that Dugin is operating in Russia without the backing of the Kremlin?
I mean, it somewhat defies logic that he could receive asylum there, get Russian citizenship, and make videos, including from Russian-occupied parts of Ukraine, without the support of the government.
Dugin, for the record, claims he has not received, quote, one dime of Russian money. We also asked the Russian Foreign Ministry and the Russian embassies in the US and the UK for comment, but we got no response. Cheyenne, we've been on this beat for a long time, long enough to remember when Russian influence operations were first starting to emerge in Western politics around the time of the US election in 2016.
Back then, there was a lot of reporting on something called the Internet Research Agency, a troll farm in St. Petersburg, staffed by young English-speaking Russians. It was funded by the founder of the Wagner Group, Yevgeny Prigozhin. Once a close ally of Vladimir Putin, Prigozhin led a coup attempt that was put down last year, and then he was killed in a mysterious plane crash.
I think there's most definitely links to the Prigozhin network.
This is Darren Linville from Clemson again. He says Dugin's operation is almost certainly connected to broader disinformation efforts by Russia.
We've seen these narratives be distributed by the Doppelganger Network, which many experts believe is connected to the Prigozhin Network. But we've also seen many of these narratives distributed by individuals connected to an organization called the Foundation for Battling Injustice, founded by Yevgeny Prigozhin. So certainly the Prigozhin Network has morphed. It's changed. It's developed new entities and new organs. It's hard to disentangle the Russian disinformation apparatus because it is sort of all one thing.
Clint Watts is head of Microsoft's Digital Threat Analysis Center. He told me that Russian influence operations have got more sophisticated over time, and there's a greater diversity of them.
It's an assembly line of propaganda and disinformation production, and it has multiple prongs. It's not
as it was asserted 10 years ago, is just a few people in a building doing this. Now it's thousands strong across multiple organizations.
Our team at the BBC has been monitoring Dugin's sites for months. While most of the stories have been focused on undermining support for U.S. military aid for Ukraine, such as those accusing Zelensky of corruption, some of the more recent narratives appear to be aimed at the U.S. election.
There was two narratives last month, one falsely claiming that the Biden administration wiretapped Trump's residence, and another one about a Ukrainian troll farm supposedly aiming to interfere in U.S. elections. So it seems like there is a shift that has taken place recently.
That's Mackenzie Sotogy from NewsGuard again. That wiretap story she mentions is interesting because it doesn't mention Ukraine or Russia at all. It was published on a site called The Houston Post, borrowing the name of a real newspaper that folded in the 1990s. It alleges that the FBI placed listening devices in Donald Trump's Florida resort. There's no evidence that is true at all, but it does dovetail with one of Trump's key arguments on the campaign trail, that the U.S. legal system is stacked against him, a feeling that John Dugin shares. Mackenzie Sotogy says the number of registered sites in the network has expanded significantly in recent weeks.
Given the amount of sites that were registered in the past month, it seems like there's a larger ongoing purpose. I think if that trend continues in terms of the site growth, we'll see a lot more, but it certainly appears to be aimed at the U.S. elections.
It's impossible to tell how these sorts of efforts might affect the polls in November.
While many commentators say that Vladimir Putin would prefer it if Donald Trump was back in power, it's not necessarily the case that efforts by Russia or any other country are designed solely to boost any one party or political point of view.
Causing chaos and undermining democratic systems are the larger goal. And Russian operations have found that they have plenty of people, including many Americans, who are willing to share fake stories and help them achieve this aim. I spoke to disinformation expert Nina Jankowicz, founder of the American Sunlight Project. I asked her, in light of what we found, how worried Americans should be about Russian disinformation ahead of elections.
It's not Russia that's the problem, right? It's the fact that we are vulnerable that is the problem. And we are more vulnerable than we were in 2016. We are more polarized. There are more issues that people can manipulate us against. I don't think Russia is more or less effective than it was back then. I think the fabric of our society is much thinner and more frayed than it was back then.
Even so, there's some good news. Most of the stories that this operation produces don't go anywhere. Only a very few spread virally, and fewer still reach powerful people. And then there's the impact of stories like the one you're listening to right now. Since the 2016 US election, there's been a vast increase in awareness about disinformation operations.
I suggested to John Dugin, the American at the heart of the operation we've been covering, that the media attention might render his activities less effective. Perhaps he needs to up his game, I wryly suggested. He replied,
"Don't worry. Game is being upped."
Maybe he was hinting at something larger and more sophisticated in the works. Or maybe it was just another troll. That's it for this episode of The Documentary from BBC Trending with me, Mike Wendling. My thanks to Cheyenne Satterizadeh and to our colleagues Olga Robinson and Paul Myers. The producer was Olivia Lang and Flora Carmichael was our editor. Andy Mills mixed the program. If you want to get in touch with me, you can do so. Email me at michael.wendling, W-E-N-D-L-I-N-G, at bbc.co.uk. And we'll be back with another episode soon.
Schwalbe, rote Karte, Videobeweis, Fußballdiskussionen, da hilft die Big Mac-Methode. Ja, die Big Mac-Methode. Schlichtet schnell, einfach und effektiv jede Debatte. Denn nur beim Big Mac sind sich alle einig. Probieren Sie die Big Mac-Methode. Nur bei McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.